And welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, November 2nd, 2024, Season 18, Episode 37. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome into the program, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. Just go to there, to that website, or you can also go to our Facebook page. You can go to Twitter at In-Game Chat as well. You can also email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. That's our email. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv and then search for In-Game Chat. Also, just go to our website, scroll to the very bottom, and you will find a link so that you can watch the show live while we broadcast. And you can also join the chat room that we got set up in there as well. By the way, Discord, that's available to you to jump in and chat with everybody else and to also join us on the show as well. So plenty of ways to interact with the program, and we welcome them all. Let me clap the board here before we get going and jump right into it. What have you been playing?
Well, still committing crimes in GTA Online,
right?
But I did do the
smuggling the drugs,
ripping off cars, selling them back.
Yeah, robbing banks, stealing from the
rich. I'm not robbing banks yet.
And
I need a team for that.
Yeah, I mean,
I need a team to rob banks. I need at least two or three people.
What are the solo things you can do? Like, what are the things you can do in there that are heist worthy, I suppose, but that can be done by yourself?
You can do the Cayo Perico heist solo, but it takes a lot of work in it's all the preparation that you have to do.
And when you mean solo, not when you mean solo.
Yeah.
But when you need a team to get them done, these are other players, right?
Yeah, other players. Yeah,
got
other players online.
Got it.
But the Cayo Perico heist you can do solo, but like I said, like any heist, it takes a lot of preparation, a lot of work to get that done. The Cluck and Bell raid can be done completely solo.
Yeah.
I think it's like 6 or 7 missions you can do, and if you do everything back to back and get it all completed, you can get $500,000 in-game credit every time you do it. So it's a great little way to pick up some quick cash. Just do two of those missions, and you can be done with it.
Okay.
So yeah, there's plenty of things you can do solo to earn a significant amount of money. But the absolute best ways to earn cash and big bulk sums, you need to have a team to do that. Like selling a full warehouse or selling a whole bunch of stuff with a group of people. Yeah, you can get money really good, really fast that way.
Yeah.
But solo, it's not impossible, but it's better with a team, like a lot of games nowadays. So I was doing that. Like I was saying, in GTA Online, there was there's a Halloween event still going on right now, and it puts this annoying, I guess, zombie type filter on the screen. So everything's like green and sickly colored.
Yeah,
and it messes with the road, especially at night, and it's raining, so you can't see it. So all of a sudden, suddenly there's a turn you couldn't see because the road's wet and this filter's on, so you hit something. Which is really fun when you're trying to deliver a car, and the value goes down every time you hit something. So there's a lot of lost value going through that. But the fact that I was selling in a populated lobby negated that. So instead of getting 37,000, I probably got like close to 60,000 selling with people in there. So outside of that, I played a bit of I spent a little time with Street Fighter VI.
Okay.
I did go into training mode because I haven't played in a while, and a lot of my friends were playing online. I started to get back into that, and there was one move I was trying to practice, and I couldn't get the timing down for it. So, I mean, the character DJ has a super move. I think it's something festival, like Sabbat Festival, Carnival, things like that. And there are three variations of it, depending on which button you press, light punch, strong punch, or heavy punch,
yeah.
Right? the level, the light one, light punch, it's basic, simple, it's easy to get. I can consistently get that all the time. But the strong punch and the fierce punch versions, which hit harder and has an extra attack at the end of it, I can never get the timing down. I can get it sometimes, but maybe once in a blue moon. So at this point, I'm just going to stick with the light one because it's consistent. I'm more favor of consistency than damage output. I'll just have to get the damage output later or just come up with more creative combos or whatever I can do. But favoring consistency in that. Played a bit of The Division 2. Got back into that. A lot of changes made in that game. The manhunt for Aaron Keener is over, so now it's up to Theo Parnell, one of the characters from Warlords of New York. Mm-hmm. So a lot of stuff has changed. I got to pick up the pace because I'm way behind in that, so I'm probably going to have to team up with some friends of mine on that and get back up to par on that one. Would have played a bit of a Virtua Fighter, but I haven't had a chance to. But I did look at the there's a tournament going on right now on Twitch. A little online tournament going on. And a lot of the folks I play with in the Akai Leagues are in that thing now. So it's been pretty fun watching them do some damage online. Especially saw two of the heavyweights in the Akai Leagues. Shout out to Chan Chai and Setsuna X from the Akai Leagues. They got together and started having a set, and it was really really fun to watch. So yeah, that's what I've been playing on this week.
Gosh. Well, you change it up from time to time,
mm-hmm.
whereas me, old reliable,
yeah,
I find something and I stick to it as far as the just over and over and over again.
I mean, yeah, I get that way too. I get in a rut sometimes. I have to, because that's why we got a backlog. We get in ruts so long
that
we have triple digit games in our libraries and backlog of things we've bought and haven't played yet.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily feel like a rut. I'm kind of enjoying it. It's just that I don't stray from the path too much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's a story-based game.
Well, and none of these are. You know, I'm playing Snap. That's a bounty-based game. So it's a week-to-week thing. It's a day-to-day thing to keep up with your bounties and everything like that. And I'll probably stream some of that tomorrow because the end of the season is Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And when I usually like to stream on the day when I go back and I collect all my bounties from the entire month. Mm-hmm. Like all these things come up, these daily bounty things or whatever they are. And you do them and I just kind of leave them there. And at the end of the season, I go and redeem all of them.
Yeah.
Just I like, you know, the way the reward, whatever, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It works for me to enjoy that, whatever that is, that
get
serotonin.
That serotonin, dopamine.
Yeah, that feeling that you get when you get to click on all that stuff that rewards you.
Yep.
So I save all of that. And this was a 5-week season instead of a typical 4-week season. So it's a lot more that I'll get to pick from and look at my variants that I earned and everything else. So I'll be working on that. I'll actually be working on that a lot, only for the fact that the final task of the month is to complete 12 daily tasks, and you get two tasks every, is it 6 hours? 10 o'clock at night, 6 in the morning, although that's going to change because we're moving our clocks back tonight, by the way. 10 at night, 6 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. 3 times a day, I get 2 bounties to pop up, and I got to finish 12 of those in order to finish the season.
Mm-hmm.
I probably will not get to finish the season like I want to, but we'll see. Normally, what I like to do is I like to save my daily bounties for, especially over the weekend, I like to save them for the reset that comes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to explain here, and I don't want to get too deep in the woods in it because it's mainly a personal preference and not a weakness or, you know, not a fault of the game.
So you do it like you did in Destiny, just let them gather up and redeem them when they're done?
In a sense.
A bulk submission yeah. of
something tasks, like that. Yeah. There's a reward track for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are, and to advance that reward track for the week, which does cap, but to advance that reward track for the week, you do daily bounties. Well, I've hit my cap for the week, so I don't have to do any more daily bounties. But what I do is you can hold 6 daily bounties at a time. So I just finish those and I just leave them there for when the reset hits on Tuesday. And then I collect those and that gets me 6 points into my weekly track right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. So that's what I try and do. Except now I can't do this because I have a weekly bounty that says, or whatever it is, that says I need to complete 12 daily missions. Mm. So that's kind of annoying. That's really, really annoying.
Is it one of them things that, like we say in a lot of games that have a... There's paid things in that, right?
In that game? I mean, there's paid things. It's just basically variants and things like that you're buying. And then there's tokens and stuff like that. But mainly my point is on this is that normally at the end of the week or at the end of a season, I'm able to collect all of my bounties when they're done. I'm not going to be able to do that this time.
Yeah.
Because I have to finish 12 of those, and I only get 6 a day. So tomorrow, when I would normally be collecting all of my rewards, there'll be that little lingering, just sitting there waiting for me to finish another bounty. Although I can pay for bounties. I don't mean pay like my money, pay for in-game currency. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's a possibility, depending on how many I am lacking, that I might throw some gold, which I've got in the game.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Something that that is made deliberately, made tedious. So that you will consider using a
Normally they don't do that. Process. Normally we get the that bounty. And let me see if we've already gotten that. I'm going to look at it here to see if they did that twice. Win a location, play ongoing, play 5, win a location, play 500, gain, win all 3, play 6, win matches, complete daily missions. Back on week 3. They had 12 complete daily missions. And now here we are at the end of week 5, complete daily missions. And that's annoying. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Maybe I can knock it out. Maybe I can make it happen.
I'm trying to remember what the benefits were for dailies. And because there are dailies and weekly missions at Grand Theft Auto Online, but they're things that I hardly ever do or even want to do.
Yeah.
So I think there's some like maybe... 50,000 or 100,000 bonus, but if I just sell 2 stolen cars or do some mission or whatever like that, I can get that fine. There's no real.
Normally, you won't hear me complaining about this. This is just my OCD kicking in because I can't finish everything at one time like I normally do. I have to wait now.
Yeah.
I don't like that. But that's me. That's just, like I said, that is my own personal preference. That's why I'm not really making a big deal out of it because it's just my own, you know. Personal preference of how I like to do that. Anyway, so Snap has been playing that either on PC or on my phone. And I've been going through Burnout Paradise Remastered on PC. All I have left to do now are the road rage events and the race events. I finished all my stunt runs. I finished all my marked mans. I do still have the burning lap, the timed lap.
Yeah.
Except I have to unlock more cars in order to have access to those. There's spots, I can see spots on the map where it's like, that's a specific car and that specific car, but I don't own those cars yet to be able to run them.
Mm-hmm.
They will unlock as I complete more events. And right now I have, I'm thinking around 20 or 25 events to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all race and road rage. I specifically did that because I have more fun with race and road rage than I do any of the other events. Marked Man is not fun. Stunt Run is not fun for me.
Mm.
Because you're not competing against... You are in Marked Man, you are competing against, but it's just...
It feels like you against the world type thing.
It is. It's you against 4 other people who are not trying to win the race. They're just trying to eliminate you.
Yeah.
And that's it. Whereas in a race, we're all, you know, trying to get to the whatever, and that's fun. Road rage is just exactly what it is. Nobody's trying to take you out. Nobody's trying to get to a finish line. You're just trying to knock out cars within a time limit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun to do. So, yeah, if I could get through all the burning routes, the time trials, if I could somehow get through those without finishing, you know, without having to unlock cars and that sort of thing, I'd absolutely knock that off because that's something else I want off my plate because it's annoying and I want you to go. The other stuff that I'm working on right now is I have done the, I've gotten the best times on all the roads in the game, both in the Big Surf Island expansion and the main game itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 64 roads and then, I don't know, another 15 or 20, not even 15 or 20. I think it's more like 8 or something on Big Surf Island. There's not that many roads on Big Surf Island. So I did time trials on all of those, got those done, and now I'm going and doing the Showtime thing, which is the crash mode, sort of.
Yeah.
There's a certain amount of destruction you have to do for each road, and I'm going through and knocking out all those so that I can own all the roads in the game, which unlocks another car. Then we'll work on the smashes, which are those little gates you can smash into. There's like 400 of those. There's billboards, which I think there's like 150 of those to smash through. I've done a good bit of those already. There's the mega jumps on the island and on the main game. I can't remember how many there are of those, but there's a lot. I also don't know if they count for going and coming. In other words, if I jump off of it from going north to south, do I have to then turn around and go south to north and jump over it? Does that count as another one? Or is that specific jump just one as a whole? I think it's just one as a whole.
Either way.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But I believe it is just one as a whole. And then what else is there? There's I got to find all the parking garages, which are in the game, which are not hard to find. You know, they're there. It's just a lot of this was just me driving through and not worrying about it. You know what I'm saying? It was just, I was just playing the game, doing the stuff, going through it. And I said, you know what? I'll get to that stuff later. It's not, you know, it's something I can do on cleanup, which is kind of what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Going through there. And I'm enjoying the hell out of it, man. Really, really love my Burnout.
Yeah,
I do.
It's your packages and Crackdown.
I mean, it's so good. It just works. It just works for me just to sit there and race and play. And I really, really, really love my Burnout. And again, I say it again. I miss it. I wish they would return. I wish they would make it again. I wish they would do something with it. So I hate that we'll probably never get another one. Or if we do, it'll be something where the other, you know, the main devs aren't involved, or people who really put the...
Yeah, some spiritual successor or something like that, you know.
I could probably tell you at this point, considering I probably won't get another game in the series, you know, I would take a spiritual successor if it's done right. I absolutely would. And some people would say, well, this, here's your spiritual successor and stuff. And I guess, I don't know. I don't know of any games out there that are like that. There is one that had, somebody showed off, I don't know if I was in the subreddit for Burnout or where I was, but there is some kind of game, and I don't remember the name of it. And the reason I don't remember is because it is a... not a paid to win, but it's really heavily monetized.
Yeah.
So I looked at it, I watched trailers for it, and I said, yeah, okay, I see that, because it had some big jumps, it had takedowns, it had a takedown camera, you know, for when you take somebody down. So, you know, the sense of speed was good, but the more I read on reviews, when I was on Steam's page and read more on the reviews, it was talking about the monetization that they're... that there is in the game. First off, it's free to play. But there's heavy monetization.
Yeah. It wasn't a recreation, was it?
No. That game is not released yet.
Okay.
That game is something that THQ had announced 1 year, and then another about a year or so later, they showed off some more footage from the game. And I think it has now been over a year since we've gotten anything new from them or heard anything new from them. That's Alex Ward. That's Three Fields Entertainment, who broke off from Criterion. They didn't break off. They didn't work for Criterion. They formed their own studio.
Yeah, went and did their own thing, yeah.
And they made Dangerous Golf, and then they did Dangerous Driving, and then they did... or was it Danger Zone, maybe? I can't remember. They did a couple of different things trying to kind of bring back the Burnout. And I haven't played... I've played Dangerous Golf, and I want to say the other one is Danger Zone, which was all just nothing but crash modes.
Yeah.
And I want to say I played that. I never did play the actual driving course game that they came up with. And I think they did a sequel to it as well, And then they were working on something else, and that's when THQ bought them or hired them out and said, you know, hey, whatever you're going to make, make for our company. And yeah. That's what Recreation was supposed to be. But I haven't heard anything about it. Yeah. Don't know.
Yeah, Dangerous Golf, Lethal VR, Danger Zone 2, Dangerous Driving, Recreation.
Okay, Dangerous Driving was the other one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Danger Zone 2 is the one I never played.
Yeah.
And then they did Dangerous Driving. So, yeah, I never got around to playing it. I don't even think I own it. I'd have to go and check and see. I might.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did. I never did get into it and play it, yeah. So... but yeah, working on that. And the other thing that I played, and I tried to stream it last week, but I did a whole review write-up on it, was pinball. And I posted it on our website. You can see the video review of it, but you can also read my thoughts on the Camp Bloodbrook table from Pinball Zen Studios. Pinball M is the name of the thing, or Pinball Effects. It's in both.
Yeah.
As best I can tell, and I played this on last Sunday, and then I wrote a review. As best I can tell, it feels like they were going to pitch this table to the Friday the 13th folks.
Mm-hmm.
Say, look, here's our table for this. You guys like it, whatever. And it just fell through. They passed something where it's like they didn't get the license. And so tweaked a few things here and there, and boom, yeah. You got yourself something brand new that's, you know, because
yeah.
That's it is all about, I mean, it's Camp Bloodbrook, so it takes place at a camp. It's a summer camp with
Crystal
a guy
Lake,
with a
different name.
Yeah, with a guy in a mask with a machete
is
going
around
killing.
Is he purple like LJN?
He ain't purple. But, I mean, it yeah. is so much. It just so Friday the 13th vibes all in it.
So it's blatantly Friday the 13th.
I mean, it really feels it.
Yeah.
It really, really feels it.
Yeah.
And if they could have gotten the license, that'd have been great. But honestly, and I wrote about this in the review, I was like, given the look, Sean Cunningham, and there's a document, there's like a 2 or 4 hour documentary about the whole Friday the 13th series. Not the TV series, but the whole movie series.
The whole movie franchise,
yeah. Yeah, and I can't even remember what it's called, but I do remember watching it. But it went into the fact of Sean Cunningham, who did the first one, getting into the legal ramifications and everything else that he went through. He lost the rights to it. He got the rights back to it. I think he lost them again. This franchise, no, I don't understand why anybody would want to touch it, given all the ownership rights and everything else that it's gone through.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you now, it's a miracle they ever did that whole Freddy versus Jason thing. I mean, I know it came about, but I am surprised that that ever got off the ground and probably muddied up the ownership stuff even further.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it before with rights to things like that, things based off of established franchises.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about Def Jam, Fight for New York, why it wouldn't be a
yeah.
sequel. And we talked about the rights to the music used in that game. You probably never get it the way you could 20 years ago.
Yeah, the problem with this one, well, I say the problem with this one is I point back to the Friday the 13th, the video game, not the LJN one, the more recent one that they did,
mm-hmm.
which was basically, you know, a 5v1.
Yeah.
5 players versus one player.
Like Evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, a group of campers who are also players of the game
mm-hmm.
versus Jason, who is another player of the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all of you trying to escape or trying to kill him in order to get to escape while he tries to kill all of you.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that was there was a lot of characters, locations. There was a lot of skins that were licensed from the films.
Yeah.
And there's some of those they could get, some of those they couldn't get.
Yeah.
And then some of those in the life of the game itself had to be removed because of ownership things that were going on. That it is the, there's a reason when the Friday the 13th collection goes on sale every Friday the 13th or Halloween
mm-hmm.
that it ain't all the movies.
Yeah.
You can go to, you can get all the Halloween films. you can't, with the exception of maybe the most recent three that have that came out, but you can pretty much get all the Halloween films. You can get all the Nightmare Before Elm Street films as well, or Nightmare on Elm Street films. A lot of those old slasher films, Hellraiser, things like that. You can get a lot of those in the bundles. You can get almost every single film, I believe. Yeah. Maybe one, maybe two are missing. Friday the 13th, you get like the first eight.
Yeah.
You don't get anything after that. It's just muddied up in licensing rights.
Is there even a the essential Friday the 13th collection?
No.
Nothing like that?
Just No, because it's all divided up between different movie studios and who owns what. And so, yeah, you can get the first. I think you can get the first eight in a bundle. And then after that, you got to pick and choose where you're getting your other ones from to finish out your collection.
You have to make your own.
Basically. I say that, but actually I do have a Friday the 13th collection that I paid a good bit of money for. Physical, not digital.
Yeah.
It was a physical collection.
Steelbook?
No. This was one that I think Shout Factory did, or one of those other independent studios had done. It was a pretty penny, but I think it actually did have all of them. Had a really nice box art for it. I mean, it's a massive set.
I'm just looking on Amazon right now. I see the Friday the 13th Blu-ray collection, kind of a bluish cover with various versions of Jason on it. This is about $150.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Massive collection. Let's see. Yeah. Are you looking at the Shout Factory version?
I'm not sure if it's Shout Factory. It just says, I just picked up the first one I looked at. It says about $150.
Yeah, let's see. Friday the 13th Deluxe Edition. This limited edition. The limited edition poster and lithograph have sold out as of July 19th, 2020. This was something. Okay, this shipped on October 13th, 2020.
Might be looking at the same one.
I think we are looking at the same one. It is the Blu-ray.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it is Shout Factory.
It is.
Blue
all
cover.
12 films on 16 discs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's the one. In fact, I had to send something off to get it redone because of the format of the film was wrong, and they had to issue some stuff. But yeah, that one pretty much has everything, which is great, and I'm glad it does. But look at what you got. And none of those are digital, by the way.
Yeah.
None of those are where it's like, yeah, you can redeem this and have all of them on your collection. No.
It says 16 discs, right?
16! In this one there is.
Yeah, 16 discs. Blu-ray.
16 of them.
Yeah, $150.
Yep.
Okay. So it is possible, but...
It is. I remembered that.
Get it while you can.
But your digital deals, you don't get any of that stuff, man. Yeah. You don't get any of that stuff. So, anyway, sorry to get off on that. But the Camp Bloodbrook stuff, the pinball table, it is a lot of fun. Again, you can read my review if you go to ingamechat.net. It's the first thing you'll see there. There's a video there, and then you can also read... my thoughts on the table, the way the play of it, how the table plays, the ball locking mechanism is one of the, not one of the worst, but it make you work for it. A lot of the times on a pinball table, when you can activate a ball lock, then, hey, you're good. Just shoot the ball in here three times, four times, whatever it is. You've unlocked that. And then there are some tables where when you activate the ball lock, you have to lock the ball and then activate the ball lock again. There's some procedure that will then activate it, then you can lock it again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two sides of that. There is the unlock in perpetuity. Just, it's unlocked, shoot three balls in, multi-ball starts.
Yeah.
And then there are the ones that say, well, you need to activate the lock first, then lock the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to activate the lock again and then lock a ball. So you do that ever how many times it is until you get multi-ball.
Yeah.
So yeah, every single locking, every single multi-ball in this table, and I counted three, there could be four, all required you to activate the lock first, then lock the ball.
Hmm.
There's a small area of the table that is, I call them dead ends. It's where the ball goes, and it has no outlet. It just has to come back the way it went in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little area there where the ball can go into. And you have to shoot the ball twice in there That activates the ball lock. Shoot it a third time, ball's locked. Mm-hmm. Then shoot the ball twice in there again to get the ball to lock, and then another one. That's number two. You have to do that three times. And then there's a bunch of other things. If you can spell the word cabin by lighting up things, that unlocks the ball lock for the cabin multi-ball. You got to do that over and over and over again. And if you somehow activate a mission, which can be easy to do because it just requires the ball to go in a certain area, if you activate a mission and you're involved in a mission, that does not count towards you activating a ball lock. You're in mission mode, which means the multi-ball stuff does not... Anything you do does not count towards that.
Yeah, it puts it on standby.
It does. And...
You don't lose progress when the mission's over, do you?
Huh?
You're losing progress on that stuff when the mission's over, right?
I don't know. It was hard to tell. I don't think you do.
Okay.
Like, if you don't complete a mission, or even if you do complete a mission, I think everything reverts back to the way it was prior to the mission. Mm-hmm. Your points don't, or anything like that. I mean, now that continues. But you don't advance that. So, if I activate the ball lock in that dead lane that I mentioned, but then I start a mission... The ball lock's not there until I'm done with the mission.
Great.
Which, you know, can suck because you can lose a ball on a mission.
Yeah.
And then that's like, that's ball three or ball two or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to start over again. So it sucks. It sucks. But yeah, so that review's at our website there if you wanted to take a look at it. Tomorrow I will be streaming more than likely Marvel Snap and probably Burnout Paradise. Just going through there doing that stuff. Showtime is not a good spectator sport. Showtime is boring to watch. Mm. Showtime is boring to play. Oh, well, let me put it this way. Showtime is boring to play over and over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, so many roads need me to get the high score that as soon as I'm done with one, all I need to do is turn a corner and I'm on a road that I can start doing it again.
Yep.
You know, 64 roads. So that's 64 times I got to go into Showtime mode and do it.
Joy.
I know. Yeah. I know. Then the fun starts because then I'll start doing the racing and the road rage. Then I'm going to start recording my videos so that I can put a nice little montage of some really cool wrecks and stuff happening. Mm-hmm. I love that stuff in the game. So anyway, that's it. What else am I going to be playing? My Horizon Zero Dawn remastered unlocked, so I could start with that. Red Dead 2 is out there for me to, you know, jump in on. Spider-Man 2 on the PS5 is waiting for me. Mm. Call of Duty Black Ops 6, why not? It's Game Pass. Hey, been a minute since I played me some Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
So why not give it a go, see how that is? I don't know. So, yeah, we'll see. There's a lot there to enjoy or work with, and yeah. But we're going to take a break now, and then when we come back, we're going to jump into the news. We are this time. I promise. We didn't touch a bit of it yet last week. But we're definitely going to do that this week. I'm going to start with the news of this week, and then we'll go back to the previous week that we had missed if we have time. But I definitely want to get in some of the recent stuff here. We're back to our regular music schedule here, and we're doing, I say, the retro games. Most of these would be considered. By the way, in doing this and picking the older games, I realized that on one of these, won't be next week, might be the week after, I'm going to do nothing but LJN soundtracks. Just music from the LJN games. We got music from two LJN games in this one. And they, in fact, they're the same song. One for the Genesis, one for the SNES. Same song, same game. Different sounding completely.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get that coming up in this group. However, for this one, in honor of Red Dead Redemption being on PC, I thought I'd go back and get a track from Red Dead Redemption, the first game. This track is called Horseplay. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Nintendo. It's an old Nintendo game called Monster in My Pocket. And that is what you're listening to here. Pulling my screen back up here for a second. Excuse me. There we go. All right, let's see if this works. Looks like Matt is in the Discord there. Matt, are you there?
Hey, all.
Hey, we got you, buddy. What's up?
Sweet. Hey, no, just calling in, seeing how everything's going.
Yeah. What's going on with you? Where are you calling from? Are you in town or are you out of town?
I'm in town, just down by Eastdale Mall, actually.
Oh, okay. All right. No, just curious. I know sometimes you're out of town, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, this is the first weekend I've actually been back in town in a while.
Probably since the last time you were on the show with us.
Yeah, I've been trying to do the streamings on Mondays, but like life caught up to me where like the past couple of Mondays I've been busy with other stuff. So I'm going to try and hopefully this Monday I can get back into doing some more stuff because I've been really enjoying that.
I've seen you playing a lot of Red Dead 2, apparently.
I got back into that because I never finished it.
So did you start back over or did you...
I just continued where my save was.
See, I got to figure out if I can get my save from my Xbox over to my from my console over to my PC.
I don't know if they port over.
They don't, but I think there's a way you can do it. It's real technical.
Okay.
But I think there's a way it's possible to do it. It's very, very technical.
Yeah, I heard you mention the first Red Dead's, you know, out now, and I don't know, man. I've got mixed feelings about that.
The only mixed feeling I have is the price.
Yeah, the fact that it's a PS3 game ported over, it's not remastered, not remade, it's just full price. And, you know, like, I mean, maybe now that it's on PC you could do mods with it, but, like, I don't know.
I'm holding out for a very big sale.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I picked up Red Dead 2 for like $15, maybe even $20. I don't know. That was Red Dead 2 for like a Black Friday deal or something. I don't know when I picked it up, but I got it, you know, below retail cost. But there's no way. And the more everything I read about this, I just know I'm not giving you $50 for a 14-year-old game that still looks like a 14-year-old game.
Well, a 14-year-old game, yeah. I mean, the fact that it's not even, you know, remastered or anything, that's just... I don't know.
I mean, it does have, it's got compatibility with, you know, widescreen monitors and DLSS and, it's got some improvements, but it still looks like a 14-year-old game.
Yeah.
It is not it's not what we were hoping for, which was Red Dead 1 inside of Red Dead 2, you know? Take the Red Dead 2 engine and everything else and put Red Dead 1 in there so we can play that. No, it's not like that, and I doubt we'll ever get that. But having it on PC at all is a step in the right direction, and this price will go down enough that I think people will pick it up that want it.
Yeah. I mean, but, like, it's not like Rockstar would do something like that. Like, you know, like, I would love to have GTA 3 or Vice City or whatever, like, in GTA 5's engine. I mean, I guess with, like, GTA 6 I'll get Vice City, but it's not the same game, you know?
Yeah, you're not going to get that. But everything I've heard as far as the port is concerned is that it runs really, really well. So, I mean, I'm looking for, and it runs great on handheld PCs, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I heard it's really nice on the Steam Deck. So, that's just something I'll pick up when it's further down the line. Do what?
You know, Undead Nightmare was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I played more Red Dead 2 than I ever played of Red Dead 1. I played a lot of Red Dead 1. I just didn't take it very far. Red Dead 2 on console actually got a lot further than I ever expected, which is kind of why I don't want to start over on the PC. I would love to be able to pick up where I left off. I might be able to find like a save at that particular point. But the problem with that is I've made choices and decisions and other things in the game that I kind of want to stick with me and not grab somebody else's save and go through that. But I don't know. We'll see. If I can give it long enough, I might just start over because it's like there's no point.
I know when I stopped playing, I was on chapter 2. So I didn't get that far. Like story-wise, I didn't get that far. But like game-wise, I had a lot of hours in because I just wandered around.
Same thing. I had not even made it to like act 2. Of the game, but I had put in God knows how many hours of the game, just because that's all you get to do. You just go around looking at stuff and getting sidetracked and doing all these different things. So yeah, main story was just kind of
challenges.
Yeah, just not messing with it. Yeah. So,
like, yeah, the challenge that I'm on right now, like, if anyone's done Red Dead 2, the Gambling 8 challenge is just the worst challenge in all of the game. You have to do a blackjack table, but you have to hit 3 times and still win. You have to do that 3 times.
But you have to win 3 times by hitting 3 times?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So you have to have a minimum of 5 cards on the table and still win, you know, so the dealer gets blackjack and, you know, then you lose. But, like, it is so tedious because you have to get low cards and just hope for the best.
Do you have to do it in a row?
No, it doesn't have to be in a row. It could just be 3 times. So.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's so bad. I've been enjoying that. I've been listening to this show, and they've been talking about Sea of Thieves. Yeah. And that's one that I played a little bit of, and I've always been curious about.
You, me, James, Jeremy, I think, we all tried to play Sea of Thieves together.
A long time ago.
I heard it did have a lot of improvements as well. I just haven't jumped back into it.
Yeah, and I know they have a Monkey Island, you know, sort of missions and stuff in it, too.
There's the pull. There's the pull.
But I don't know. I've been kind of looking into that, but it's one of those things, like, I just don't want to do alone.
I understand. I haven't gotten back into Sea of Thieves, though. I never did get back into it. I'll know. One day I think I'm going to break down and just put Game Pass on my PC. I mean, it's on my PC, but one day I think I'm just going to break down and start doing that. Maybe I'll just buy it.
I unsubscribed because I've been subscribed to Game Pass for like over a year now and just never used it. I forgot about it. So until I'm ready to get back into it, I'm just like, I'll just cancel that.
Man, it's a good deal. I mean, obviously not for you if you hadn't played anything on it, but there's some really good games on there as far as games you normally wouldn't get to play. I say you wouldn't get to play, but normally you'd be like, that's too much money to jump into that right now. Well, it's on Game Pass. Okay, good. I'm there, you know.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones will be on Game Pass.
Yeah, hopefully Monday I'll be able to get some time and
do some streaming.
Try and do some more Goat Simulator or something.
Play some Red Dead or Red Dead 2. Stream some too.
Yeah. Or Vampire Survivor just got the Castlevania DLC.
That you can do as well. There's anything you want, man. With the exception of apparently Burnout Paradise because you couldn't get that going. Well, we appreciate it. Always good to hear from you, man.
Yeah. All right. Have a good show.
All right. Take care.
See you next. See you next time.
Bye-bye. He tried to stream Burnout Paradise at one point, and he couldn't even get Burnout Paradise running, which apparently is a big thing. Burnout Paradise Remastered, it's got mixed reviews. It's not very well reviewed on Steam, and the problem with that is because of the thing crashing when people try to run it. For whatever reason, it's working for me, and I feel blessed. because in a sea of people saying this thing does not run, it keeps crashing on me, it does this. In a sea of seeing Matt have that absolutely happen to him trying to get on there, I feel very lucky that it works for me.
Are you not running a program that someone else is or something?
I have no idea why it works for me and it doesn't for them. I have no clue.
Sounds like something in the background is interfering with it some kind of way. I don't know.
Well, that many people having those issues? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of people. I mean, if you look at the Steam reviews, a lot of people saying it just crashes on them. They can't get it to run.
Someone's malware defender, something like that.
No idea. Yeah. No idea at all. Hey, let's jump into some news while we got some time left in this hour because we've got plenty of news to do. Some of the quick things. The guy who created Papers, Please, I'm trying to remember his name, Lucas Pope. He did Papers, Please and Return of the Obra Dinn. He released a free game on Halloween called Moida Mansion.
Moida?
Moida. M-O-I-D-A.
Oh, the accent.
I guess.
Moida.
Moida mansion. It's a lot of Moida in this mansion here. Mm-hmm. He designed the Moida mansion, the style of an LCD handheld game. And it's got the look of an old Tiger Electronics game. You can find it. It's absolutely free, by the way, but you can file it, find it on, just look it up. Moida Mansion. Moida Mansion. You'll be able to find it and play that if you want to.
I still got one of those tiger toys somewhere around my, either in my apartment.
I think
or my
mine was
house.
Like Batman or something.
Yeah.
Where if you held it in the light, you could see all the different positions Batman could be in on the screen because mm-hmm. that's just what's going to light up.
Yeah.
With him like throwing the batarang or whatever else. It just. Oh, man.
Nostalgia.
I say nostalgia, but then I look at that and I was like, boy, this passed for amazing entertainment back in its day.
Yeah.
This is all you had.
Yeah.
It's all you had. Let's see. What else do we have that I can cover real quick? Oh, yeah. The PlayStation Plus monthly lineup. Why don't we do that? Let's see what we're getting. PS5 Plus subscribers on the premium, extra, and essential tiers. Or is this the entire month? Yeah, what is that one? Okay, it is Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged, Ghostwire Tokyo, and what was the other one? Death Note Killer Within.
Okay.
I don't know anything about that. I mean, I know Death Note is an anime,
I know Death Note,
but
yeah.
I don't know what Killer Within is. Maybe I should look that out. As they say, the standout here is surely Death Note Killer Within, which Bandai Namco only announced today. This was back on, what day was this posted? October 30th. So Wednesday. It is described as the first ever social deduction game based on the legendary anime series. It's got cross-play support, and we'll see up to 10 players face a choice between life and death. Split into two teams, players must uncover each other's identities to eliminate L or seize the Death Note from Kira. Kira and L are equally matched, each hiding their true identity while battling for control over the game, engaged in a game of wits, either as Kira or his follower, or L and the investigators, as both sides vie for the hidden Death Note, leading to a thrilling showdown of truth and deception until one team prevails. Okay. That's neat. I need to jump on my, turn on my PlayStation 5 and download those games.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other problem. That's a conversation to have. As someone who owns all three consoles, how often do I turn them on?
Mm-hmm.
Not much.
Barely.
I mean, it's something to, it's an interesting thing to think about. Like, how often am I turning those systems on? Not very much.
Yeah. Especially you know? When those classic games and on those old consoles come out on your current console.
I've got games to play on there. I mean, God knows, Game Pass is just a treasure trove of things that I could be playing if I wanted to.
Yeah.
PlayStation, I've got, again, Spider-Man 2 that I haven't jumped into. That's mm-hmm. there for me to play if I feel like it. So, I don't know.
It's like when the last time I turned my Dreamcast on. It still works.
Well, it's a Dreamcast, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about current systems that, mm-hmm. you know, you pay a good bit of money for. How often you turning them on? I understand the Dreamcast thing, like, you know, retro gaming, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. I mean, I haven't turned on a Nintendo system in, you know, forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I've played Nintendo games, you know, what's the term I'm trying to think of? Emulated.
Yeah.
So, you know, still there with it, but. All right, so we're at the top of the hour here. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to jump into the news again. Promise you this time. I know we hit a few of them here. Mm-hmm. This next one comes from the Nintendo Entertainment System. It is the title screen for the game based on the film Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And it absolutely sounds nothing like the music from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I don't even know if it sounds like a Robin Hood. Whatever Robin Hood's supposed to sound like, it doesn't sound like it. Anyway.
Swashbuckling.
Yeah.
Adventurous.
You tell me.
Robin Hood didn't have techno.
I mean, what is that? Anyway, we'll be back. We'll be right back. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. This sounds more Robin Hood, doesn't it?
Well, better than what we had before the break, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
When in reality, this comes from the Super Nintendo version of the... I don't think it's LGN, but it's a game based on a film. Hook. The movie Hook.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Pan. It's called March Through the Woodlands. So anyway, welcome in back to the show. I think we're going to get that... might be getting that double one coming up next. The one I told you about, you're going to hear the same song on both systems, just to give you an idea. But anyway, nothing about that. Let's jump into some other stuff as far as this week is concerned. Cities Skylines 1 got some new DLC, even though it was apparently had no more updates planned. It got more DLC 18 months after what was supposedly the final update for the game. They got some DLC, paid DLC. I have no idea what it is. No clue. Cities Skylines 2 is a game that I still haven't purchased. Planet Coaster 2, I think, is coming out. And that's another one that's kind of up my alley to get to play, where you design a theme park. That's always fun. What else do we have? Sony shut down the Concord developer. Firewalk Studios... has been shut down, and they also shut down a mobile developer, Neon Koi, I think is the name of it. They also permanently canceled Concord. We thought they were going to restructure and kind of pull it as a free-to-play.
Yeah.
That's not the case. They're done with it.
Gave up on it.
They are done with it. According to an internal email from the CEO, the studio has been closed. The failed shooter has been permanently sunset and will not return. After much thought, we have determined the best path forward is to permanently sunset the game and close the studio. That was said in an email that was sent to employees on Tuesday. I want to thank all of Firewalk for their craftsmanship, creative spirit, and dedication. They spent considerable time these past few months exploring all of their options. The PvP first-person shooter game is a competitive space that's continuously evolving, and unfortunately we did not hit our targets with this title. We will take the lessons learned from Concord and continue to advance our live service capabilities to deliver future growth in this area. Boy, that's a lot of boardroom talk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Concord's done. And, I mean, if you really wanted to get even further into it, and this does not cover it, but just the amount of money that was spent, or that it cut, I'm thinking $400 million was spent on the game. Why that number is sticking in my head.
It was like $400 million total. I think half of it was by Sony. Half by Sony.
Yeah.
The other half was... I forget who.
And I thought they would do something with it, like, hey, look, we own it.
Think. That's a big investment.
Let's put it out there free to play. Let's charge skins. You know, let's just, that way we can just sort of make money over time.
Yeah.
No. They're ditching it.
Yeah, do what Zan did with Friday the 13th. We couldn't get the thing, but we could tweak something here and there and make it more palatable.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But they're not.
No, they're not.
It's done.
They said they weighed all their options, so I wonder what those options were, what else they tried.
That's an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
That they said they weighed their options, and I'm curious as to what those were.
Yeah.
Was free-to-play ever on the table? Was, you know...
To recoup that loss?
I
doubt it.
That's tough.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Was you know, implementing a season pass bundle in there or something? I don't know. I don't know what you would have done. And obviously, they said they looked at it, and they didn't get anywhere with it. So, what else we have? The Concord development. Concord's... Oh, there we go. This is from Eurogamer. Concord's... The live service game's initial development deal reportedly cost $200 million. This, however, was not enough to cover the game's entire development costs. The cost did not include the purchase of the Concord IP rights or Firewalk itself, which Sony acquired last year. So I guess they're throwing that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a report from September after the game was shut down suggested the game had cost $400 million to produce. And so, yeah, that's where I got the $400 million from.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money to not pretty much get any of it back because, you know, they refunded everybody that bought it.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So big loss all around.
I guess, but, it is. Financially, it's a big loss.
Yeah, yeah.
But for gamers, it feels like nothing of value was lost.
It didn't appeal to anybody. It didn't appeal to the mainstream. Not enough people bought it, so it's nothing we're going to think about. I mean, hopefully, like they said, they'd learn from this and do better in the future.
Well, then there's Bungie and their Marathon. It was originally supposed to arrive this year, but Bungie's sci-fi extraction shooter was delayed until 2025 and still has not reemerged with new gameplay since the initial showcase reveal. And there was no gameplay in that reveal, by the way. But they do have a new development update from the project's game director. It details what fans can expect from the reboot, but there's very little information about a game that's expected to arrive in just a year. They talk about the core mechanics and the game loop the players will hopefully be diving into sometime in the not-too-distant future. The core gameplay revolves around customizing characters called runners that players take into matches, collecting loot and fending off rivals in order to escape alive, lest they lose everything they earned during the outing. If you played Escape from Tarkov or Hunt Showdown, you probably already know the drill. It's a game that's not for everybody, but if you're interested in having sort of that tense survival experience and having a game where the stakes really matter and you're challenged to survive in a really, really harsh and interesting world, then Marathon is right up your alley. That does not sound like it is right up my alley. I'm not a fan of that kind of game. I suppose in a team-based sort of sense, maybe, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But solo, no. I'm really not good at those.
The losing
games.
All your loot part really sticks to you.
I get that's the risk reward thing they're going for with it.
Mm-hmm.
I like games that implement that as a mode. You know, The Division had something like that. There was a mode in The Division where. And I can't remember what it's called. But, you know, you get dropped in a zone, or you're in a zone, and then a supply package gets dropped off, and you have to, you know, you can run up there and take it.
Resource convoy.
Yeah, or you can run up there and take it, or you can sit back.
Supply drop.
Yeah, you can sit back and let them come in so they can pop them off, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And get more. You know, if you...
Yeah, in my case, supply drop is basically three big crates, and you're going to have to compete with all the other factions to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's real fun doing that solo. Yeah, it is. You better have your turrets out, your shield up, and doing everything you can to get those things up. And immediately it's possible to do, but you got to manage your... be aware of your surroundings and be able to manage crowd control very well with the weapons you got.
So yeah, in some cases I am, but if that's the entire point of the game, I'm sort of like,
I think about that mode in I think it's Call of Duty, gun game.
I don't know.
If someone could probably in chat can
been forever since I played a COD.
But I think it's some type of mode where you build up levels by you drop into a zone, you take out your enemies, and as you take out more enemies, you get a level up, and you get better weapons as you go. I think you start with a knife, and then you get up to some really powerful weapons in your fourth or fifth level. But if you get taken out, you got to start over from scratch. So you go in there with a knife again. But I remember streams of this game being played and the loss of all those levels every time they got killed. I mean, people really got ticked off.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I'm talking some prime choice quality rage moments being put out on the internet for the world to see. So, yeah, I was thinking something like that for a game like this.
Yeah, there's those moments. I remember, I think it was, Splinter Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Splinter Cell had a game mode that was like an extraction game mode type thing. Mm-hmm. Basically, waves, you know?
Horde mode?
In a sense. Mm-hmm. So it was like every five waves, you had the opportunity to extract. And if you stayed...
Warframe had something like that,
yeah,
too.
If you stayed, the rewards were greater. If you got out, then you took what you had gotten so far, that sort of thing. But if you stayed, the rewards were greater, unless... Yeah. But also, it got tougher.
Yeah. Warframe has a mode like that, exactly like that. It's is an extraction type, but the rewards are very
good. It was co-op.
Good. Yeah, rewards are very good, but you have to stay there a long time
to get
there.
Yeah. And James and I played it. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And in Warframe, especially, there were times when it was just a massive, overwhelming type of enemies.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to get out of here. We cannot stay longer than that. But and then we get to the point where it says, if you can get to level 30, I'm like, we're catching hell at 13 right now.
I know, so, yeah, to really so, get up there.
We're not going to make it, so let's get out while we can right now. Yeah.
Yep. What else do we have in the news? Here we had a... Ubisoft launched the first ever blockchain game with NFTs costing... Well, that's in euros, but that's a massive amount of money. A ridiculous amount of money. About $7,000 to $64,000. Figurines and NFTs can be bought on the game's marketplace from anywhere from $7 to $64,000. This does not do Ubisoft any good. Not with a consumer trust or consumer goodwill, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand NFTs. I thought they had gone away, but apparently they are not. And Ubisoft intends to continue to use them.
I guess someone's making profit off of it, so
yeah,
it's going to stick around until the profit stops.
Hey, Steam now requires developers to let you know when their games have kernel mode anti-cheat. Destiny is one of those games, by the way, just to let you know. This is... Some people are for that. Some people are against it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily against it. I am against you not telling me that it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know when that's in there.
Know what you're getting into.
Yes.
Yeah, that type of thing. Yeah.
That's some deep-rooted anti-cheat that they put in there. And I'm not saying it's not needed. Obviously, if they're going to get down in there, then that's because the cheaters have gotten down in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the cheaters have done their part to not get detected, and even through this, there's a way to get around it, or at least there probably is. I've not actually looked into it because I don't cheat, Bungie. But Destiny does have that, which again goes back to my, well, you guys should easily know what you detected for me as far as, you know, getting banned.
I think we said the bot did. No physical human.
I know, but they won't tell me.
And they won't
will not tell me.
Because they can't tell you. They don't know. The bot won't tell them. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the issue of you appreciate what it does, but not how it does it?
Well, it just, because it can read kernel level, I mean, is like deep rooted into your system. And it's checking, all kinds of different things. And you could be running software that is not a cheating software type of thing in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But because of what it might be doing with your computer or with you on somebody else's computer, something like that, which is what I figured was the case,
mm-hmm.
Then it's going to pop back and you know, say, hey, he's logged into somebody else's machine.
Yeah.
If that's the case. I really don't know. Because they didn't tell me.
Yeah.
If they had told me, I might have a better understanding of what it was and why it was, and to tell you more about how this works. They didn't tell me what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are for it because, yeah, it's really good to stop cheaters. Some people are against it because it's sort of like, you're getting too far into my system that I would rather you not be in.
Yeah. The potential, you know? For,
and it's not,
is there.
Yeah. It's not about a privacy protection as far as, hey, I got files you don't need to look at type stuff. No, 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 no. It's nothing like that. It's just, it's a lot the same way Game Pass works.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of gets into your system and it just leaves things in there. And I would rather that not be the case.
Yeah, that was the thing you couldn't get out of your system. You saw it, you discovered it, but you couldn't, get rid of it.
And when you put stuff like that deep-rooted into my system, it can cause all sorts of problems.
Mm-hmm.
When you add devices or when you're adding new components to your machine or something like that, it's unlikely, but there's always risk.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those different things. Anyway, Steam is now going to say, we've heard from more and more developers recently that they're looking for the right way to share anti-cheat information about their game with players. At the same time, players have been requesting more transparency around the anti-cheat services used in games, as well as the existence of any additional software that will be installed within the game. So now they're going to list that on the game's store page, whether it has, you know, anti-kernel anti-cheats. So... Mm-hmm. That is going to be, so we'll see. I'm looking at more of this article here. But yeah. As we noted earlier this year, kernel mode anti-cheat isn't going anywhere, but at least now you'll know when it's around. So yeah, just stay out of my system. Please. I'd like you to do that as well, Game Pass. I would be more apt to using you if you didn't do all that stuff. So, let's see. What else we got? Dragon Age, The Veilguard, came out this week. And it's doing quite well. It topped the charts and beat out the concurrence for Star Wars Jedi Survivor, the other game from EA. At the time of publication, Dragon Age, The Veilguard's peak was about 70,414 concurrents, putting it just outside the top 10 most played games on the platform with mostly positive reviews. It sits one spot ahead of Baldur's Gate 3. EA previous high watermark, Jedi Survivor, which managed an all-time peak of 67,855. Well, Veilguard has 70,414. The CEO of EA predicted success for Dragon Age during Tuesday's earnings call, saying that BioWare had returned to its strengths and that it would benefit from limited competition thanks to Ubisoft's decision to delay Assassin's Creed Shadows. That we should be talking about Assassin's Creed releasing right now, but we're not, because that has been pushed back as well. In fact, I think we're probably done with some releases here? Other than Indiana Jones coming up in December?
Yeah. Which have a gap.
Which, by the way, a lot of websites, a lot of publications got a chance to spend about 3 or 4 hours playing Indiana Jones. A lot of positive reviews, and I say reviews, previews, because they need to play the whole thing. Some positive stuff there, and some negative stuff. Some people saying that it plays more like a fancy stealth game, and in some of the stuff I watched, it's basically, it's a lot of stealth because you're not good against guns. And they have a lot of guns. So you have to be sneaky about it. You have to take out people silently or not cause alarm or be able to hide. And it's in first person, which makes it a little bit strange. But apparently it plays really, really well in that regard. So,
I remember. I'm trying to think of watching the films, and I think the sneaking and stealth was part of it, part of it a lot. But it wasn't something I really focused on. I was more focused on the history, the action adventure, and the interaction of folks like that. The stealth part was not really
well. Apparently, it's a mix between it's a lot of puzzles, and there's not a lot of hand-to-hand combat. Or I say hand-to-hand combat. There's not a lot of fighting because of the fact that there's, you know, guns. Yes, if you're face-to-face with somebody else and they have a gun, you have a good shot at getting out of that, no problem. But if you're in an area and you pick up like a machine gun to take somebody out, that's just going to alert the entire people to come towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be a match with all those guns going off. So it's one of those things where it really is, it benefits you to play stealthily to not cause that issue. which is fine. I don't mind stealth games. Sniper Elite has stealth in it. Splinter Cell has stealth in it, but I don't mind that necessarily. But we'll see. Still got a while until.
I guess it's the character is what I'm thinking of. I would think it'd be more a little more action oriented. I guess you could play that way, but this is a preview, so we don't know for sure. But
no, we don't. The best way I can relate it is Batman.
Mm-hmm.
The Batman games, or at least the first one.
I expect stealth in that.
Yeah. The Batman games were like, you don't last long when somebody has a gun in that game. Unless you can disarm them, get that gun out of there, and disarm the gun or break the gun or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Because guns were bad in that game. If you had people with guns, they were your prime target to get rid of that first.
Yeah.
And then get rid of the, and then go hand to hand with everybody else because a gun will rip through you. And I think it's kind of the same way in this one, you know? Mm-hmm. Find the gun first. You can disarm somebody with the whip or with a kick or whatever. You can throw things at them. Almost anything can be used as a weapon or a stealth weapon for you. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily for them, but for you, you can use almost anything as a weapon. So anyway, the previews that I saw for it really, you know, raved about it, that it was pretty good. But to kind of put it in more of a perspective of, this plays more as a stealth puzzler than it does a, you know, run and gun, like I'm just going to jump into this room and I'll take out whoever's in there type of thing. It's more stealth based. So kind of a jarring thing to go straight from Veil Guard into indie, but that's how that happened. So we got more news to cover. We got last week's news. Well, a bunch of news from last week to go through as well. We're not going to get to all of it, but we got to take a break. And then when we come back, we'll have more for you. So I don't necessarily know that the next track that's going to come up will be the alternate version of the track you're about to hear. It is an LJN game, although I'm not sure if it was LJN for both systems, but I think it was. In probably early 90s, some point, 93, maybe? 92, 93? There was a Spider-Man game released on both the, I think, the Super Nintendo and the Genesis. And it was Spider-Man Maximum Carnage. The Genesis or the Super Nintendo, one of the two had a red cartridge. What are the, you know, kind of one of those limited edition red cartridge thing at the time.
Yeah, the semi-clear crimson shell instead of the black plastic shell on the Genesis version.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here is the Genesis version of the track called Streets of New York from Spider-Man Maximum Carnage. And hopefully on the other side of this, you're going to hear the Super Nintendo version bring us back into the show. They're both the same track, but they are completely different as far as the way they sound. And again, Genesis was what, 16-bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Super Nintendo was 16-bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, here's Genesis, and we'll be right back. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. And this is music for Maximum Carnage for the SNES. Same track, Streets of New York. Just more
They have more. It's like it sounds like one system had more resources to work with than the other.
Seemingly, and but they both had six. They were both 16-bit, I guess. But I mean, yeah. I know there's more to it than that. But still,
yeah, it's like think about Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
the stark difference between Genesis and SNES version.
That was such the thing, too. Like, which version do you get? Which one has the better, you know? That was a system seller, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I mean,
you wanted Mortal Kombat 2, but then it was like, it's on a Genesis and it's on a SNES. Which one do I get it on? Which one is better?
I mean, well, in terms of the original, I mean, the thing was, one looks so much better than the other. That's mm-hmm. true. But the one that doesn't look as good has fatalities in it,
yeah.
and the other one doesn't.
Had so, different yeah. sorts of fatalities, had the yeah. had sweat instead of blood.
Yeah.
But then there was a code I think you could put in to change the sweat to red or change the gray to red or something. I can't remember.
Dullard.
Yeah. Yes.
The Dullard code.
Yeah. Down, up, left, left. Yeah.
A right down.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do I remember that? But I can't remember what
know,
I...
No, dude.
Yeah, one's more important than the other. That's
God,
why.
I remember yes. that. I yeah. remember that. It was also a code. You had to do it before as the Acclaim logo was loading.
Or something like that, yeah.
And NBA Jam had the same thing, but I can't remember what it was for.
Oh, the codes in NBA Jam. There was certain ones for players or whatnot. Just put their initials for some.
Well, yeah, no. You could put initials in for the players, but I'm talking about as the Acclaim logo comes across the screen. That's yeah. when you have to input the code.
Mm-hmm.
And NBA Jam had one. Mortal Kombat had one, mm-hmm. but I don't know what the one for NBA Jam did. I don't know if that activated Big Head mode or if it. I don't know what it did.
Yeah, something like that. Who knows?
Or if like everything you shot was on fire. You know what I'm saying? Like it was mm-hmm. the you're gonna shoot anywhere you shoot from the court it goes in.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Man, old all them old codes we still remember.
I know, and those old codes work. By the way, if I were to fire, and I didn't bring my Steam Deck, but if I were to fire up those games on my Steam Deck or something like mm-hmm. that, I could still input those codes and still get them to work.
Yeah,
which would be really cool to me, I guess. Anyway, let's see. Going back into the news, I think we were good for this week. I know Dragon Age Veilguard is doing very, very, very well, and I'm grateful that it is. I'll eventually get to it at some point, but it's doing really good. There was some concern that it might not be great, but I think it's fine. I think it's done well.
How's it compare? Any words on how it compares to the original?
To the previous games? No, no. I have no idea. Okay. And even if there was something, I probably wouldn't have read it because I didn't really get into the involvement of the early
play the
games.
Original. Yeah,
yeah.
So this would be this is your starting point for the Dragon Age series.
It probably would be. There's some you know, some primers that I could read, or there's some videos I could watch to kind of get, you know, if I need to get mm-hmm. caught up on a story, maybe.
Yeah,
but I don't think any of it really ties back to anything else. I went into Dragon Age blind and didn't like it. I went into Dragon Age 2 without finishing 1 and played more of that than I did the first game. Dragon Age Inquisition, I don't think I ever touched. And now we're at Dragon Age Veilguard. And so I'm once again interested. So hearing about how everything is going with the game, I'm interested in playing it.
Yeah.
So...
Well, you got the you got the initial day one first buy things, and that's when the interest is at its
right.
peak and its prime. So.
Well, there's no, I mean, there may be co-op in this game, I'm not sure, but there's no reason for me to really care about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's November the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying a game at all unless it's already deeply discounted because. We got discounts on the way.
Yeah, Black Friday month, so yeah.
You know, do I want to play Sonic Shadow Generations? Absolutely. But do I want to see if it's going to get a sale for Black Friday? Yes, I do.
I mean, despite the fact that Black Friday hasn't been Black Friday for
It's not,
a
but
minute,
games go on sale.
But games do go on sale.
And so that's what I'm kind of waiting for to
see. Even if you're like Nintendo and only knock off $5.
Well, the other problem with that is, you know, Sonic Shadow Generations I want to buy on PC, and PC... doesn't usually get the sales that consoles do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Like when we do this, coming up in the next couple of weeks, when we go over this list, you're probably going to hear me tell you that there's a lot of games that are on sale, but it's going to be Xbox, PlayStation,
console,
Switch
yeah.
versions, you know? It's not going to be PC versions. I think more and more they're catching up to that, but it's still not there. It's still not there for Black Friday, especially.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just still, it's still not there. I was thinking about the Indiana Jones game that's coming out in December.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Game Pass, so I figured, you know, that's good. I'll play it on Game Pass, even though I want it on PC, but it'll be, you know, it'll be on my console. I can play it there, no problem. But I went digging to see, like, oh, you know what? I never even looked to see if it's got any kind of special editions being released or anything like that, and it absolutely does. And it has one that has a steelbook. I'm a sucker for steelbooks.
Of the movie?
For the game.
Dang. I was hoping it would be like a...
Well, I've got steelbooks for the films.
I was hoping it would be like something like Stranglehold. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, John Woo's Stranglehold, and the special edition
comes with hard-boiled.
It came with hard-boiled. Yeah. That was the only way I could have seen that movie at the time, was buying up John Woo's Stranglehold. Yeah. Heard about the film, but I never saw it. But then I saw that opportunity and picked it up.
They just released two Jackie Chan films on Blu-ray here. Maybe it was Criterion Edition. I can't remember what they were. Mm-hmm. They're older films of his.
Mm-hmm.
Super Cop, maybe? Or Super Cop? I can't remember what
Super
it was
Cop
called.
Drunken Master?
No. It was more modern. It was something to do with police, but I can't remember. I'd have to... Police Story. Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. One and two.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Sorry. I was like, yeah, I knew what it was. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they just released those. But, yeah, it's got a steelbook with it. But the steelbook version comes with a bunch of other junk that I do not want. And it also costs like $165. And I also don't want to do that. So.
Then let it go.
I mean, I will. I absolutely will. Plus, if the artwork on the steelbook is what the artwork is, then I don't really have a lot of interest in it. It's very, very basic. Video game steelbooks are very, very basic.
Mm.
What I've come to see, that I've come to discover, when you compare them to some of the films that I have and what they have done with steelbooks, video games really don't do very well with them.
Yeah.
Kind
of like the albums that the album covers look really, really nice, though, for when they do the soundtracks for them. Those look like they have put more effort in it.
Sometimes they can, yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's just it's the cover of the game on a metal case, or it's a solid color with a title on it. You know, they don't put a lot of creativity in it.
I think Shenmue's come to mind. I think it's just a silver case that item engraved on it or etched in it or something like that. That's pretty much it.
Could be, yeah. God of War was like that, where it was just a gray steel book, but it had runes on it.
Runes on it.
Viking things on there, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Every time I think of runes, I think of Senua's Sacrifice, Hellblade.
Yeah. I'd have to go back. I've got a couple of... video game steelbooks. I have to go back and be like, okay, this one is good. Mm-hmm. This one is bad. Not the games, just the way the steelbooks are done.
Yeah.
That's all. What else do we have in my new stuff here? They shut down Concord. We talked about that.
Yep.
The sci-fi thing. Oh, I've heard some reviews. Some people got into the, I don't know if it's beta testing or if it's early access or something to that Destiny mobile game. Yeah.
Your face is exactly what their reviews of it sound like. Yeah, maybe it's just me, folks. But there are a lot of games that I just can't even consider playing on mobile.
Well, put aside that. Put that aside.
Yeah.
The reviews on that are saying, look, it looks like nobody from Bungie is involved in this. In the writing, nothing is canon. It just seems to be a
straight money grab.
Let's grab the Destiny name and put it on our game and make it look as close to that as possible. I have no idea how it plays, but everything else is like, this is something that's not going to draw. You're not going to get drawn. If you're a fan of Destiny, you won't get drawn into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You'll draw something all right.
So, yeah. it's just not going to be there for you.
Yeah.
Is what I had heard. So let's jump back into last week's news, and there's a lot in there. And hopefully I can, you know, pick out some of them to go over. Beyond Good and Evil 2 is apparently still in development. You know, I haven't looked into this lately, but I meant to mention it the last time we were on, where Call of Duty Black Ops 6 has an option to pay for better audio. Now, this is a story from October 23rd from GameSpot. In the week of its release, it's been revealed that Call of Duty Black Ops 6 has an option to pay $20 for personalized spatial audio. The third-party audio tool is built into Black Ops 6's setting menu and will also be coming to Warzone with Season 1. A screenshot of the audio menu was shared by a content creator on Twitter, showing a pop-up offering a free trial for Embodies Immerse Spatial Audio. The service creates a personalized spatial audio profile based on players' head and ear shape and costs $20 for 5 years. The paid service is part of the enhanced headphone mode setting, for which a follow-up screenshot is displayed prominently in the game's audio options. The setting uses a universal profile by default with the option to pay for a personalized profile. Black Ops 6, however, is the only game to offer personalized spatial audio through Embody, but it's one of only a few to currently partner with the company. Final Fantasy 16, I'm sorry, 14. Roman numerals are hard. Final Fantasy 14 has offered personalized audio through Embody for a few years, while Cyberpunk 2077 added the option earlier this year. While Embody isn't the only third-party company out there offering this, it's rare to see the option built into a game's menu. Then it goes on to talk about the spatial audio. It is, let's see, while Embody's game packs aren't overly expensive for a five-year period, the jury is out on whether they're worth paying for at all. Many Final Fantasy XIV players aren't impressed with the audio offering, according to Reddit posts, and some have pointed out that what Embody provides is not too different from Dolby Atmos. So, yeah.
So not much different than a good set of headphones?
I don't believe I have had the privilege of experiencing the spatial audio thing.
No.
Not yet. I'm curious about it, but I have not yet experienced it.
I wonder how it would compare to the full out THX in the movie theater.
This is more of, from what I understand, this is more of something that, and again, without having heard it, I can't tell you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, personalized spatial audio. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, I'm just a guess, like speakers arranged your head in a certain way or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's what basically. It sounds like. Basically, it learns your positioning, the way your head is positioned, the way your everything else, and then they model the sound based on where you're standing, or how you're facing, I suppose, or whatever.
Mm.
I'm not exactly sure how it all works. I really am not, and so I don't want to go into something that I don't know anything about. But it's supposed to give you that surround sound feeling when you turn your head. It moves the audio that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sounds like a VR setup.
Mm-hmm. But if you're doing... Now, that's for... That may be just for music, but in the game relation, perhaps when you turn your character, the audio shifts in that regard, I guess, which already surround sound does, like Dolby Atmos as well. So I'm not exactly sure. Again, I haven't experienced spatial audio, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Or at least what they branded spatial audio as. Have I experienced surround sound? Absolutely.
I can see how it would apply in game. I definitely see that. But yeah. But a really good set of headphones might be a step below that or something.
Well, so, I know Apple's the ones that are like another $100.
That's $100. I know it's Apple, but still.
It's just under $100, yeah. I believe. But the ones above that, the ones that go like the sit inside your ear, something like that. AirPods Pro 2, whatever the things are.
Yeah.
They have spatial audio in those. And you have to do this whole thing with your phone whenever you're like looking at it, and then you have to turn your head and do this, and it records the way you're doing all this stuff so it can input those algorithms and get them going for whatever. Yeah. Again, something I haven't experienced, something I haven't had tailored to myself, but I feel like what they're saying is exactly true, that it's basically just Dolby Atmos in the sense that you have to pay $20 to unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get the same thing just by plugging in some Atmos speaker and get whatever.
Yes, you know? The general, I was thinking the general consensus is it even worth it?
Right.
That thing is not, it doesn't sound like it.
$20? No, I don't think so. For 5 years, will that carry over into the Call of Duty Black Ops 7 that comes out next month or next year or whatever the next Call of Duty game is?
Yeah, if you set up for 5 years,
is it strictly stuck to COD to Black Ops 6? Or is it going to carry with me for the next 5 years?
On paper, in a business room, it probably wouldn't.
Does it carry with me to any game that offers that for the next 5 years? Probably not. Why would it?
No, because it doesn't make a profit on paper doing it that way.
Well, yeah, and then you got to get into the fact that, well, then am I paying the company that's offering this, or am I paying Microsoft, I guess? I'm not sure who. Mm-hmm. Am I paying the game this money, or am I paying that other company this money?
Yeah.
If I have to go to their site to register my name and then pay them the money to unlock the feature in Call of Duty 6, then I could see it carrying over game to game.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
Why would it? Why would you do that? That sounds too ethical. That sounds too consumer friendly. Why would you do such a thing?
That sounds too much like right.
So, yeah. If it sounds too much like right, it's wrong. For us.
Yep.
That's a great slogan for companies. If it sounds too much like it's right, then you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If it sounds wrong, add $5 to it so that we can make more money through it. We got a release date on Until Dawn's film. I think that comes out in April next year.
Mm-hmm.
We should start getting trailers for that, I would think, pretty soon.
Any word on who the actors are?
I don't remember.
No, from the game, though, right?
Other than, what's his name? You know, that guy. You know.
That dude.
Peter? No. What's his name? Starts with a P. Or his last name does.
Just one of the characters in the movie?
Peter Stormare.
Okay. Doctor. Doctor. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's playing that character.
Playing the doctor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Hill.
Yeah. He did good. He did good in that role too, I think.
Oh, maybe the girl is in that too.
Tane Panettiere?
Yeah.
Okay.
She might be in it as well. Oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. This is not the film. This is talking about the sequel to Until Dawn, not the movie. Sorry. They have teased that there's likely a Until Dawn 2 being worked on. Possibly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Same situation or different, just same situation, different characters, I'm thinking.
I'm not sure.
No, I'm just speculating.
Both of the teases came from Peter Stormare and from Hayden.
So if Hayden is involved, then survivors from the first Until Dawn.
I would think so,
crossing over to something, another incident.
Which means that there's a canon ending to that, I would think.
Yeah.
Right?
I would think so.
Unless she survives everything. Does she always survive?
No, not personal experience. You can lose
her character.
Her character.
Okay.
Because
we know Dr. Hill always survives. Or at least, you know what I mean.
Yeah, well. But based on personal experience and the fact that controller sit and move when I didn't.
So you can lose her.
You can lose her. Everybody can die in this game.
By the way, currently on Humble Bundle, if you go to humblebundle.com, there is a super massive Little Nightmares bundle that will get you Little Nightmares 1, Little Nightmares DLC, Little Nightmares 2, and it will give you the entire Dark Pictures anthology so far.
Mm-hmm.
Not Until Dawn and not The Quarry.
No, it's, but what is it, Man of Medan?
Man of Medan. Devil and Me.
The Devil and Me.
House of Ashes, and then one more that I'm forgetting of, that I'm forgetting about. You're going to make me do
Fall
it,
of Usher?
Huh?
Fall of something? No, that's a movie. That was a movie somewhere.
Humble Bundle. I'm going there now.
Yeah.
I'm on it, man. I'm on it. All right, let's go to the bundle for the games. That is the Dark Pictures Collection, and you get Devil and Me, House of Ashes, Little Hope, and Man of Medan. Yeah, so, for Little Hope, Little Hope was the one we were leaving off. So, yeah, $20, you'll get all of that stuff.
Nice.
$20, you get seven games for $20.
Mm-hmm.
I think I own them, actually. With the exception of like two or three of them, I think they own.
Yeah, I think I've got all the
Dark
Pictures anthology, I believe. Yeah, I kept.
I think I'm in the same boat.
They kept catching sales here and there.
Yeah,
from GameStop and other places like that. So yeah.
Okay. Until Dawn hits movies next April 25th of 2025. Let's see. Apparently, the production based on a script by Billy Butler. So it stars Ella Rubin, Michael Cimino, Ji Young Yu, Odessa Azon. I don't know these people. Maya Mitchell and Peter Stormare.
Stormare.
Yeah. Who will be playing Dr. Hill.
Just some young folks, right?
Huh?
Just some young folks.
I guess so. Yeah. I don't recognize a single name, and there were no pictures there when I was looking at, so I don't recognize who any of those people are. So, yeah.
Well, just me. Just young or looks it. Or just looks the part.
Yeah. Something we didn't get into that I still want to get into, and I'm going to save that one for next week, but the Steam Deck not getting a yearly refresh.
Hmm.
Valve said, look, we're not doing that. This is not something that we do. They only intend to refresh that system when it's significantly enough to refresh it. In other words, right now the technology isn't there to make a significant jump in the handheld PC gaming market.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're not doing yearly refreshes of the system. So they say, and I kind of believe them on it. They're not doing it because of that.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like that if you're going to do another system for it, it needs to be a massively improved thing.
And you can
incrementally improve it, little steps every year, if you want to do that. They do it with cell phones all the time. You take little bitty baby steps, which is why you don't see people. There are people who upgrade every year, but there's a lot of people who don't. They either do it every other year or they do it every five or they just do it, depends on what's out,
Yeah.
So anyway, that's going to wrap it up for us. We don't have time to get to everything else, obviously, because that's just how it works, right? So thank you, everybody, who joined us in the chat room. Thank you, everybody, who's joining us on the air. We really appreciate it, Matt. Thank you again. Also, don't forget to join us on, I'm going to stream some tomorrow on this channel, on Twitch and everything. You can join us there. You can also, go to Steam. You can find us on YouTube and iTunes and everything else. So, again, just thank you so much. We're going to leave you here with music from Dragon Age 2 that we talked about earlier. I don't know what year this was, early 2000s, I think, when it came out, or mid-2000s, something like 2008 or so. But Dragon Age 2, it's the main theme for that. We will see you next Saturday. Have a good one.